Images of the End, Commentary for the June 28, 2025 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. John 3, verses 16 and 17. Jonas Salk is famous for inventing a successful polio vaccine. He is noted for giving the vaccine to the world without a restrictive patent that could have potentially made him a very wealthy man. I knew none of this when in the first grade I was lined up with dozens of other children to receive that memorable jab in the arm. It was mandatory. Even our parents could not excuse us because polio had become such a scourge in the United States. Children who contracted it could be disabled for life, even ending up in an iron lung to maintain the ability to keep breathing. The fear of those outcomes drove research into how to combat the disease, and once a successful vaccine was developed, mass inoculations began. While some stout boys approached the person with a needle with a stiff upper lip, there was also much wailing and gnashing of teeth as we all awaited our turn in long lines snaking down the hallways of Frank Givens Elementary School. Due to improper preparation by some manufacturers of the vaccine, hundreds of children were given polio instead of being given the expected immunity. Often due to religious reasons, a general hesitation to willingly seek vaccination has been present in the United States all the way back to the development of smallpox vaccine. This accidental infection of school children fed into those fears, and fear of vaccines has continued to be a major limiting factor up to the present that came to a head during the recent COVID pandemic. But as children, most of us only resisted because of the pain of being jabbed with a sharp needle. Later, elementary students in the 1960s were relieved to be able to take oral vaccine instead. However, other vaccines meant that the painful poke continued to be a nemesis of childhood. Much of the philosophical or religious opposition to vaccinations comes from adults, not children. It raises a question of how much a person is willing to sacrifice to save the lives of others. As a former Army medic, I know that it is standard practice for combat medics to risk their lives to save the lives of their fellows, moving through a hail of gunfire to reach a wounded comrade, patch him up as much as possible, and move him to safety. Desmond Doss, a Seventh-day Adventist who became a combat medic during World War II, was wounded 4 times, received 2 Bronze Stars, and the Medal of Honor for saving the lives of over 50 men on Okinawa. He became permanently disabled and was unable to resume his civilian career after the war. This is a stark contrast to those who would not so much as receive a vaccination that could save the lives of far more than Doss had saved. Could it be that today we are more willing to sacrifice our lives for things than for people? Or are we simply more afraid than we have ever been? We live longer than previous generations and have more options for physical activity and improved diets. Yet even though we know beyond doubt that aging and death comes to all, whether plant, animal, or human being, we act as though death is not as much a part of life as birth. How strange that someone who had no need to face that greatest of all fears would willingly submit to it. This was no vaccine that only had a remote chance of causing death or disability. Jesus came and stood in line knowing that his jab would be a death jab. But his love for humanity was such he could not do otherwise. Jesus, who was actively involved in our creation and completely in control of all things, according to Colossians 1, verse 16, willingly submitted himself to that death as nails pierced his wrists and his ankles on the cross, and an agent of the government, a Roman soldier, drove his lance into Christ's side to make sure the job was done. Paul the Apostle wrote, "Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 5, verses 7 and 8. We understand this to a degree. We may not sacrifice our lives for those we do not know, even though they may be worthy of such a sacrifice. But many would do so for their children or grandchildren. They are our charge based on procreation. Scientifically, they propel our DNA into the future, and many species have that ingrained, enabling the survival of that species. In a sense, a similar argument might be made for Jesus. We are his charge based on creation. We are created in the image of God, according to Genesis 1, verse 27. He was willing to give up his life to enable that image to be propelled into the future eternally. But what is that image that is so important that Jesus needed to die to ensure it would endure? The Apostle John tells us what it is. God is love, in 1 John 4, verse 8. This is the essence of all life since the beginning. It does not take much observation to determine that humanity has mostly chosen a different path. Fear rather than love has become the understood basis for life. Jesus said this would be so, that fear and terror would be enough to cause fainting or heart failure, in Luke 21, verse 26. He said we would be living in a loveless society, but the rare person who could continue to be loving despite all the fear and evil would be saved, according to Matthew 24, verses 12 and 13. It is hard to understand why people would choose fear over love. But love includes a willingness to be vulnerable. Jesus demonstrated that vulnerability in the extreme. Despite angel armies willing to save his life in an instant, according to Matthew 26, verses 53 and 54, he allowed himself to be painfully tortured. His flesh was ripped from his body, and then he was hung on a splintery cross where he was jeered at and cursed by those he had come to set free. That is how willing he was to be vulnerable, to demonstrate his love. This vulnerability can be hard to implement because we are constantly tempted to seize control, especially when we allow fear to take over. In 1967, the Summer of Love, centered in Haight Ashbury in San Francisco, claimed to be about ushering in a new age of love. But it was sustained by hallucinogenic drugs, gratuitous sex represented as love, and dropping out of society. This is not how love is nurtured. Love is not a social movement that becomes just another way to exert control and manipulate others. Realizing its unsustainability, those who had dropped out found themselves buying back in to the very society they had challenged and became known as the greedy me generation. FOMO, or fear of missing out, led them to double down on the accumulation of wealth at a time when society was dialing back from the post-World War II prosperity boom. Subsequent generations came to resent this material prioritization, especially from the so-called love generation. And prosperity preachers are the worst of the lot. They also rose to prominence during the era of greed, surfing the waves of wealth they cajole out of their susceptible followers to live a lifestyle that Pilate and King Herod would have envied. Claiming their wealth as their endorsement by God, they cause even legitimate ministers to question their own faith. Some hold that we are living in the end times, but so many that make that claim also want to manipulate others through fear. Rather than lift up a loving God who would do anything to demonstrate that love, even death on a cross, who draws us with love as the stoniness of our hearts cracks and resonating love pulses in our breasts in response, They lift up a god who desires nothing more than revenge, torture, and endless pain for his enemies. Be afraid, they say. God is going to burn you forever in hellfire, keeping you alive so he can enjoy your pain endlessly. Do you have enemies? Join this vengeful god, and you can sit beside him and watch their torment. Little wonder that so many want nothing to do with God. He has been the victim of so much character assassination that people shun him or deny he exists. I would not want any part with such a god either. But this is not the God I have experienced. I do not love God out of fear of what he would do if I did not. But this creates life's biggest challenge. Once I have experienced that love, how do I, in turn, love others as he has loved me? This has transformed my life, bit by bit, into a challenge and an adventure, unfolding petal by petal like a most exquisite rose. Yes, all roses die, as do we all, but no rose stifles its bloom because it fears death. It blooms because it was created to bloom. We love for the same reason. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this podcast, including links to the various verses mentioned in this podcast, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find links to books written by the author available for purchase, as well as links to other articles and hundreds more commentaries and podcasts. Once again, that's www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.